Good day, friends. We come to the final broadcast in this current series, The Gospel of Christ. We're going to be talking about what the gospel has to offer, as time will permit, about heaven itself. But before we get into this broadcast and into this message, let's go to our Heavenly Father for a word of prayer. If you care to join us and can, feel free to do so. Our Father and our God, we come into thy presence with humility in our hearts and lives, realizing that thou art God and truly doth rule in the affairs of men. We understand how you form man from the dust of the ground, breathing into his nostrils the breath of life, that man might become a living soul. We're also aware of the fact that man has sinned and drifted from you, Father. But you cared for the souls of men and made it possible for man to rise above the dregs of sin. Through the death of your Son and our Savior upon the cross, you made this all possible. And we're thankful, Father, for that death of Jesus and for your marvelous plan. We're thankful for the gospel, for the church. We're thankful for the opportunity to preach the gospel, for those who stand behind the proclamation of God's word as we sound it forth on this station. We also pray, Father, for those who are in sin, that they may see the need of turning from their sin, that they may be prepared to meet thee when the time comes that all men will stand before thee at the bar of judgment. We are thankful, Father, for our nation, and we trust that this nation, as well as other nations of the world, may realize the only possible way for peace is according to your plan. We must first come to make peace with thee, Father, and then we'll see more clearly by thy word and the influence and the impact of it in our lives to live at peace with our fellow man. We're thankful, Father, that there's means being used to help those who are ill, and we trust that those who are ill, if it is according to thy will, may respond and will be feeling better. And the sorrow that enshrouds a home, a family, sometimes even a community, with the death of loved ones, we trust that comfort may be found for those who are in need today. Help us now as we look at the teaching that's associated with heaven, because that's where we want to be. Our conversation, our citizenship, truly let it be in heaven. This is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, this program is brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ, and this is the final broadcast in this current series on the Gospel of Christ. If you want a copy of the outlines that we've used, why, of course, they're available. Simply no cost or obligation, just a card or letter, either to the congregation that sponsors this broadcast on this station or to the station itself. The Church of Christ broadcast, designated as such, and we'll be able to get that material to you as soon as we can. Now, in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, the last chapter in the Bible, we have this familiar verse that I think has a great meaning. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. You know, it's a wonderful thing, and we want to recount what we were talking about one time relative to heaven. There really are three lives that we think of in association with man and his treak, we might say, through the existence here upon this earth and into the world beyond. There is the birth physically, when he comes into the world, and as Adam and Eve had no sin when they were created and when they were put in the garden, so man has no sin when he enters this scene. Now, some people would dispute that, but I simply would cite the example, one of several, in the 18th chapter of Matthew, and you may want to write this down because this question is on the minds of a lot of people. It tells us there that when Jesus was trying to answer the question, who would be great in the kingdom, he used a very outstanding object lesson. He used a little child. And you know, he made that statement in verse 3 of the 18th chapter of Matthew, except ye be converted and become as little children. See, after your conversion, you're like a little child. Now, this would indicate to us that a person has no sin after they have become a child of God. Their sin has been taken away. And so as a child comes into this world, he has no sin. But all do sin and come short of the glory of God, so there's going to be a time when sin comes in his life. And the only way that can be taken out of his life is by his obedience to the gospel. So the second life begins when we are born again. We came into the world as a physical being. We had a spirit. We had the inner man, the outer man. We became soiled with sin. The Lord made it possible for every sin to be forgiven. Remember Ephesians 1 and 7. Paul said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And then you see there's no sin going to enter heaven. So when we have that new life in which we become a part of heaven, then the third life will have begun. A wonderful picture, I believe, that certainly harmonizes with the Word of God. But here's the point. Man, in his association with the tree of life in the beginning, in the land, in the Garden of Eden, had no sin. And when man did sin, that's when God separated or alienated or divorced man from that tree of life. He didn't want man to partake of the tree of life while he was a sinner. And so the tree of life is now spoken of as being into the city. In other words, it's in the city, the glorious heaven, that wonderful place that is beyond this veil of tears of which we are a part. So our association once again with the tree of life will be when we have no sin. The things that come to my mind in this famous 22nd chapter of Revelation, there are a lot of things that are outstanding here about the water of life, the street that's in the city, the manner of fruits, and the idea that this is going to be for all nations, people out of all nations that obey the gospel. And then in verse 3, we have this consoling thought, "And there shall be no more curse." We're talking about heaven. "But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." See, we're going to even have an opportunity to serve God when we get to heaven. You know, I was talking to a man not too long ago, and it impressed me because he was one of the vast multitude of people who work in the service industry. And you know, this man went diligently about the task, and I suppose some of the things that he actually was carrying out in his life, some people, well, they wouldn't want to do that. That'd be below them. They looked upon him being very menial. But this man, I observed him, and he really was working at it. And he said, "You know, I realize that I'm in the type of thing that doesn't pay as much money as some industries or some types of work do pay. But," he said, "there's one satisfaction I have." He said, "When I complete my day's work, I realize that I've rendered a service." And you know, that principle can be carried over into Christian living. We realize that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. It truly isn't going to be in vain, friends. So everything we do for God and for our fellow man as members of his family is going to count. So we're going to get to serve him in this life. We also have the privilege of serving him in the life to come. "And they shall see his face." Isn't that wonderful? "And his name shall be in their foreheads." And then we have this indication, I think, that's very outstanding. "And there shall be no night there." No night. It'll all be light. They need no candle. That's why. "Neither light of the sun." They won't need the light of the sun. The sun was created on the fourth day, but there was light from the first day. God said, "Let there be light," back in Genesis 1 and 3. So there's not going to be any light there, and the reason for this is, "For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." You know, I told you one time on a broadcast about the little old lady, a sister in Christ, who was, her body was racked with arthritis, and one of the elders of the church mentioned about her, and he said, "I'm sure while you're in the community, you'll go by and see her," and I did. And she encouraged me much more than I did her. I know that probably every movement of her body, she had pain. But you know, she looked up at me and she said, "Now, Brother Bill, you came here to cheer me up." And she said, "The one thought that cheers me up more than anything else is what God can give to me." She said, "I'm looking forward to the time when I get to heaven. I'm not going to have any arthritis." She said, "The Lord's going to give me a new body." You know, all these undesirable things that we have in this life, we're not going to have to be confronted with those when we get to heaven. So you see, this is worthwhile. Well, someone says, "How do you know there's a heaven?" Well, I'm taking it upon the basis of faith, but I want to tell you this one thing. It takes a lot stronger faith to try to believe that there isn't a heaven than to believe that there is. The whole works of nature prove to us there is a resurrection. Look at that dormant tree in the winter. Now, you know, because you've been around for a while, if you have, that when the spring comes, that tree undoubtedly is going to show life again. And the Lord has given us that example in the works of nature to show us that there'll be a new life after this veil of tears is over. Now, we don't take this simply upon the basis that we can see it in the works of nature, but the Word of God talks about it. Jesus said he was the resurrection and the life. He told Martha that. He said even though a man dies, he'll live again. In fact, he went as far as to say that we would never die, and he was talking about the spiritual part of man. But the wonderful thing about heaven is that we're going to be able to be there, well, there forever, eternity. We live in a world today in which the little span of which we are a part here, I believe, is really surrounded with eternity. Space is undoubtedly the best physical example of eternity that we have. But you see, the point is that this whole world is going to be taken out of the picture. It was described one time very capably by a speaker who simply made a little dot on a blackboard before the congregation. He said, now all this blackboard here represents eternity. This little spot out in the middle represents your life and my life in the world. And so then he took the eraser and he erased it. It was gone, but eternity was still there. Now there's a picture of heaven, and you can make heaven your home by obeying the gospel and by serving him faithfully. We want to help you. God wants us to help you. So if we can, why don't you let us know? Hear the word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, follow that with baptism into Christ Jesus that you might rise to walk a new life, and then keep walking. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when this world is over, or when your life is over, this wonderful transition will take place, and when you hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. That'll be heaven. I want to say to you that it's been good to be with you this quarter hour. I want to thank the brethren who sponsored this broadcast on this station. We hope to be back with you again. We certainly want to thank you for listening, and do keep in contact with these brethren. They're good people. As serving the Lord, and we truly hope that you will tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast. May God bless us all as we obey his marvelous and his wonderful truth.